Valentine's Day is coming up. What are you getting your wife?
Nothing.
I don't think it works that way. Nothing?
Nothing.
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 Diabolical.
Yep, this year for Valentine's Day, I'm the present.
Oh, can I please be here when you tell her that?
Look, as if our wedding vows weren't enough, through the years, I power washed the deck, I YouTubed how to build a walk-in closet, I even changed the toilet paper roll. Sometimes without even being asked. I took her to Graceland twice.
But Graceland isn't a two-trip kind of place.
And do you know where she has her weekly women's Bible study every Monday night?
Do I want to know?
Right over there, in front of my 70-inch crystal clear True Tone LED while I sit in the back room watching Monday Night Football on my kid's cracked iPad.
You saint.
So, this year, no presents, just presents.
What'd you just say?
I'm not getting her any presents. I'm giving her presents.
So, let me get this straight. For Valentine's Day, you're not getting her any presents with a T. You're giving her your presents with a C.
That's what I said. Presents, not presents.
Diabolical.
Hey, honey.
Yeah?
As you can imagine, Valentine's Day did not go well for Jerry this year. Don't be a Jerry. Make those you love feel special.
Forewarned is forearmed, okay? Valentine's is coming up. And it's okay if you don't do presents on Valentine's Day, but we're talking about relationship, probably the most important relationship. At least make an effort throughout the year. And by the way, I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day because I think that you don't need a special day to celebrate, especially your marriage. We just need to be intentional about it. We're going to be talking about that here. So, Tom, thank you so much for the introduction. Thank you for being here. Thank you for stepping up to service our nation. Thank you so much. I know where you're going. We're praying for you, brother, and where your brothers are here for you. Last week, our scholar, Richard, put out this cui bono. Who benefits? And I think it's interesting. It's actually probably a guiding phrase associated that we need to, as we read these letters, we need to understand, okay, who really benefits? Because sometimes it can get confusing, and C.S. Lewis does a very good job of just trying to just understand it. Sometimes, hey, really, if you don't watch yourself, you might be taking it from the wrong perspective, right? And have the wrong perception, right? So, you know, the jurisprudence center of gravity that it is table 8, we were talking about that, you know, the best we can come up with would be Sonny Bono, which is, you know, I got you, babe, right? And, you know, and Jack Law actually said, I'll pay you if you can say, we were talking about, because that's as best as we can do that. And by the way, that joke was just pro bono, and I don't get paid for it at all from that perspective, but we can do this all day, right? But we're talking about letters 3 and letters 4, and there's several themes that you can go here, or go by across the board, and just they're very extensive. I recommend that you actually read them. There's more. I just extracted 3, right, from that jumped up to me, and then I'll try to apply some things in from the Bible. They're my own experience, right? The first thing is. By the way, the situation right now, just for those who weren't here, we have the screw tape and wormwood, and we have the patient that supposedly has made a profession of faith. Now, there was a discussion whether the individual have actually made a true profession of faith or not on our table, and whether that happened or not. It's important to the discussion, but at the end of the day, remember screw tape and wormwood, they're demons that. Do they say the truth all the time or not, right? So when they're saying some things and they're writing to each other, are they even being honest with each other associated with that, which is what the devil and the enemy does, what the demons, and they deceive, and they're the destructor. So just keep in mind that asking yourself that question again, who really benefits? So the first theme, I instructed 3 themes. The first theme is the exploitation of family relationship. And it starts with this. And by the way, I'm going to do a British accent with a Puerto Rican combination in here. That should be an interesting thing, right? So he starts with, I'm very pleased by what you tell me about this man's relationship with his mother. Mother? Wow. But you must press your advantage. The enemy will be working from the center outwards, gradually bringing more and more out of the patient's conduct under the new standard, and may reach his behavior to the old lady at any moment. Now, I did a poor job there about, you know, I'm not going to England anytime soon, but that's the best I can do. And remember, English is my second language. Now, we can talk about it. The first observation that I'm going to make is that Screwtape instructs Wormwood to sow discord between patient and his mother. And I would say, if the enemy wants to destroy something, and he's always been focused from the beginning, is discord in the family. You heard the saying, you can pick your friends, you can pick your job, you can pick a place, but you can't pick your family, right? And those closest to us are the ones that we get hurt by the most, right? I know my own personal life, right? When I became a Christian and I went back home, and I say, you know, I was so excited about this, and I have three brothers, and all of them are essentially, they will tell you that I love them to death, right? But they'll tell you that they're atheists, right? They just, and not that they did not know about the faith, they just walk out of the faith, right? I was so excited with them that I was thinking that this is salvation. I was planning to give it to them, right? You just need to know. You just need to. I want you there with me into eternity. But they knew the old Jay, right? But, you know, why do we feel rejected, right? And when this comes, right? And we feel that goes into it. And then they make fun of me when I go home, even to the ear, say, hey, you know, when I say God bless you, say, you know, we don't believe in that. I say, yeah, but I'm still going to ask God to bless you, right? But those are those comments like that. Sometimes I want to make sure. I came from praying for them for God to let them know, to actually mercy and really understand and just bring other people in my life, because it might not have been me that they needed to see. And by the way, Jesus got rejected too. I mean, after the baptism, he went to the desert. After the desert, he went into ministry. He did miracles. He went to his hometown. He read. They invited him to read in the temple, and he said, I am who I am. He said, no, you're not. You're the son of Joseph and Mary, the carpenter, right? And he couldn't minister in his own town because people would not believe. So we should not be feeling bad about being rejected because of our faith. But one thing we need to be aware, and remember, this is about being battle-ready, understanding about the situation, that the enemy is going to try to bring discord and division with people that you care, especially family members. I know if it doesn't happen to you. I know you guys are saints. But, you know, have you ever noticed that on Sunday mornings when you come in here, it's really all, you're putting your praise music on, you're ready to go, things are going on, and, you know, and it's really smooth sailing all the way in until you get to the worship center, right? That's the way it happens for you guys? No, not for me, right? There's actually the enemy, or something is going to happen that is going to take us out of that focus, that there's going to distract us from what's important and what are the real priorities. Understand that, by the way, you can take this one or two ways. Oh, I'm being attacked, or okay, bring it on, I'm being attacked. Remember, the devil doesn't like to be ridiculed, right? So understanding that exploiting family relationships, or if that's what he wants to do. Forewarned is being forearmed. Right? It's being armed. Right? It's the things that you need to do and understand that. So he's going to try to do those divisions, picking on those things associated with that. So here's the observation, right? He said, the symptom of that, it's interesting to me that the first thing that the devil tries to do in order to sow family discord is to be self-centered behavior. Right? It's not about, well, point them to there. No, point them to the center, right? To our own selfishness, to our own problems, that I don't have the problem. They got the problem, right? That's the first step that he's talking about in order to sow family discord. Right? Because the enemy that he calls, which is our Lord, right? He goes, the process of change starts within. He's going to be working from the center, right? From the center. He's the Screwtape and Wormwood, the demons are going to start to work our sowing discourse to focus ourselves and ourselves and not on the others around. Now, the symptom of that, because this is a patient, is that is that this is pride and self-righteousness leading to family discord, right? Because if you focus on self and I'm not the problem, everybody else the problem, even though everybody else is trying to tell you or at least guide you or hold you to accountability, you're the problem, then that becomes the point of discord, right? Definition of grief is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. So the second thing is that he does that is by misguided focus on family faults. You know that little nagging sound that your wife makes?
No.
It's okay, don't raise your hand. Like, we don't have our own. Like, you know, I have been away from my wife for 3 weeks. No, everything is okay. We're expecting our fourth granddaughter. She's in Portland, Oregon. I'm separated by a continent. And I have been, you know, I'm malnourished, you can see. because I just don't eat well, right? But there's not so many things, right? That laundry basket that things used to get there and then magical things were folded at home, you know, it doesn't work anymore for some reason. It's a malfunction, right? But we, when we're focusing on ourself and the world revolves around you, it's easy to pick out faults on other people, right? For some reason, just because it's a difference between having a perspective of inner self, I'm sorry, a perception, than to having a perspective. See, perceptions are very self-centered, centered around my whatever view. A perspective forces you to go and reach out to see it from the other person's. So the symptom, the observation is that the patient is encouraged to focus on his mother's fault while ignoring his own. That little bring fully into the consequence of your patient the particular lift of your mother's eyebrow, which he learned to dislike in the nursery, and let him think how much he dislikes it. That little annoying thing that sometimes we let grow into something bigger than what it is. Yet we expect what? Grace, but we lack the grace to give, right? The other piece, the other observation, there are many observations here, and I encourage you to in your table discussions to do that. The other thing is, he starts getting into prayer and significance and the discipline of prayer, but the prayer is oriented towards, Father, fix her. You know, now, I know we haven't done that in our lives. We haven't. Fix her, right? It's in the observation is that Screwtape encouraged Wormwood to distract the patients during the prayer and keeping his prayer self-centered. You know, our motivations, I mean, prayer is important, and they get introduced into this, but our motivations and who we're praying to and how we're praying to, and we'll get this into letter four a little bit more, it's different. Right, we need to understand that when we start praying for others to try to fix somebody else, where does the fixing need to start? Right, and understanding that again, this the patient has just done a profession of faith, whether he is or not a true believer or not. But he's, you know, all of us. You know, the only person that will ever know at the end of the day will be God. Right, that we will be before His presence. Right, nobody knows anybody's heart. But when we're there, right, He's gonna. Dry mouth. He's made a profession of faith. You know, we understand that justification is instantaneous, but we forget that sanctification takes a while. And that process will not end until we are before our Lord and Savior, you know, in the judgment seat, right, which will be there. So understanding those things are important. So there's an Screwtape that directs an exploitation of the family relationships. He encourages the patient to focus on the faults, on the little nagging things. And then goes into the superficial piece of devotion, right? So what scriptures can we think through this, right? Well, Matthew 7:3-5 says, "Why do you look at the speck on the sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" I don't know. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. You know, my father used to say, when you point somebody a finger, there's what? So many fingers pointing back at you, right? Just for starters, right? So let's have an understanding of that. And Philippians says, okay, in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, talks about humility in relationships. It says, do nothing of self-ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself, and let each of you not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Putting others first. The first will be last, and the last will be first, right? Putting others first, understanding that everybody here that you meet, every encounter that we have, every family member that you have also was made with a purpose before time began, and they are precious in the image of God. So see them, changing our perception as to how we see other people is important, right? Changing our perspective from earth to eternity, especially if we do this amongst Christian brothers and sisters, see them as Jesus sees them, as the process of sanctification has already been done and completed, and the potential associated with that, as opposed to where they are today. And hopefully they have the same grace extended to ourselves, right? And Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 talks about forgiveness and kindness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender heart, and forgiving one another as God Christ forgave you. At the end of the day, we need to remember that none of us are worthy. There was mercy extended to us. There was grace given to us. We didn't do anything for the salvation to come before him. And if you don't know Christ today, there's a reason why you're here today, right? And I'm not assuming that everybody here knows Christ, but he died so we can have an eternal relationship with him, not so we can join a religious group. He died so his purpose can be fulfilled, so we can have a relationship with him for eternity. That's forever, because there's a separation. And today is the day that you can make that decision for him. The rest of us need to continue to live a life of sacrifice towards each other, a life like exemplified by the life of Jesus Christ in our life. Because the only Jesus that people is going to see is a Jesus that's with us. Okay, now I'm going to go to letter number four. Is it letter number four? It gets into a very, very there's an introduction into prayer and how he's praying, and he's praying for his mom, praying for the motivations, and then letter 4:4, the enemy himself, Screwtape himself, talks about, hey, we need to talk about this thing called prayer. And there's, you know, again, it's a weapon of prayer. And, you know, we talked about in Ephesians 6 about, you know, putting on the full armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, right, and all these things, breastplate of righteousness, all these things. Prayer is one of the weapons that we have. So what is he going to try to do? Well, first is the manipulation of prayer, right? The observation is the Screwtape suggested making the patient's prayers mechanical and self-centered, right? I grew up Catholic. I understand the orthodoxy piece. There's not, the prayers that are there. Sometimes I know, and I have to confess, and I was having a conversation with Richard about this. Sometimes I don't have the words, but guess what? It's okay. There's a little book in the Bible called the Psalms that you can pick up, and you can pray back to him what he's already given to you, right? And it's okay to confess and follow. I don't have the words. This is where Sonny Bono comes in and say, I got you, babe. You know? That's twice I worked there. I didn't put the jacket. Right? Right? He said, I got you. I confess sometimes that I'm dry, that I'm just so tired, that I just so exhausted, that I just don't have energy, that sometimes the world overwhelms us, that the cares of the world, all these things associated with that, just take on a burden. And it's right. There's a reason why we have to be in fellowship. And people, now sometimes you can't pray, but a brother can come along and pray for you. See, a lot of times one of the parables, and I think Jack was the one who we talked about the parables of the sower and the seed, right? When you're reading these letters, it's about what kind of soil are you and how effective that seed is going to be to you. Remember, it's the same sower, the same seed, and it's different soil. So where are you in that soil process? Where from that perspective? So manipulation of prayer. And then the other piece of this, it talks about Sorry. The other piece that it talks about here, so when you manipulate prayer and you're doing it in not necessarily, there's a self-centered, the symptom is really a self-centered spirituality, right? The next piece is a misplaced focus of worship. Who are we worshiping, right? It's that the patient is encouraged to focus on his physical and external distractions rather than genuine connection with God. Okay? Being distracted by how I'm going to pray, where I'm going to pray, what are the things. Yeah, there's a discipline associated with that. And it's okay. But really, it's like, this is about not about a religious and a mechanical process. This is about a connection. Remember, it's not about religion. It's about relationship, right? You don't give a present to your wife on Valentine's Day because it's Valentine's Day. You give a present or you acknowledge or spend some time doing something special for that special person because you think they are special and you want to build on that relationship. It's the same when we're wanting to have an intimate, purposeful relationship with God, right? Because if we don't focus on that, one of the symptoms that come around is that the symptom associated with that is idolatry and emotion, of emotion over truth and worship. So we let objects and things take over the things as opposed to the object of the God as in worship. Right. The last thing I'll talk about is that there's a disconnection from God. It's that Scriptate outlines the methods to keep the patient's prayer are shallow and disconnected and in true presence. We got crosses, we got places we go and worship, we got things, we get distracted with those things. And he talks about that. He said, fix his attention inward in his own feelings instead of on him. Sometimes we create, one of the things that we try to do is we create an image. We create a God in our minds without recognizing that no matter how much I try, I will never be able to fully know God, right? We try to put a GPS on him, a pinpoint where he's at. We try to place him. There's not a GPS. There's not a pin he can drop. Sometimes we forget who we're praying to. You know, an eternal, all-powerful, ever-present, all-present God. Sometimes it's because we forget where if we want to know the characters and the attributes of God, where do we go to find those things? Well, he has given us his word so we can find the way as to who we pray for. And sometimes we get distracted by other things and the things that we do as opposed to recognizing that my pursuit in life is to actually get to know him, to know God and make him known. And that process is not going to end until I'm before his presence, to know God and make him known, which, by the way, is our mission, right? So what scriptures we talk about here? So just to help with this, and I'm going to forward these things. Philippians 4:6 says, Do not be anxious for everything and anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, before in that passage, there's like three times that he says, do not be anxious. We live in a fallen world, a lot of situations, a lot of grief associated with that. Do we move out before we pray up? I know I'm guilty of that. As men, we have one of the things that we do is we compartmentalize a lot of our actions, right? Well, you know, God doesn't really care about that, right? Do we start our day on our knees? Do we bring it forward, everything in our agenda? Do we give it to him? I know I'm guilty of that. I'm just moving on, and the day gets into bed. I got an agenda. I got things to do. We all got things to do here. We're busy. We got things to do, people to meet. Do we put those meetings in front of him, and do we pray for those meetings that we're going to have, those agenda items, those tasks, the to-do lists associated with that? Matthew says, "There's just, when you and how do we pray?" Right? In Matthew 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, what? Will reward you. Now, caution. There is a, because sometimes we think that we're praying to an ATM. You know, Jimmy, my name is Jimmy. You know, gimme, my name is Jimmy kind of thing. Sometimes we pray to an ATM in which we just pray and expect. We need to understand that sometimes there's a difference between the promise and the performance of that promise. I mean, Joseph went from the pit phase to the Potiphar phase to the prison phase to the prime minister phase, and that was about 20-something years. But the day he was a slave in the prison, the day he became prime minister, he dressed up and was ready to go. So when we're praying, go and pray alone. Have that relationship, that one-on-one with him, and he will reward you. Don't be so concerned as to when that will happen. Just understand that whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through at that particular time, did not catch him by surprise. And it might be a setback, but it's a setup for something better. Clearly, we know we'll have something better at the end. No matter how our life here, if we believe in God, we'll be in eternity forever with him. And nothing compares to that. I can't even explain it. So, again, changing perception to perspective from earth to eternity is really one of the things that we need to be encouraged to do. Last thing is trusting in the Holy Spirit, which is in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In other words, this battle is not, it's his battle. He's already equipped us by the Holy Spirit in us, right? It says, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for our words." See, we have been, when we believe, when we accept him in our lives, we have been fused with the Holy Spirit. You don't get more Holy Spirit as you grow. I mean, you get what you get. You know, it's the same one. What we need to make sure is that we're not distracting them, you know, just clouding them with the cares of this world and stuff like that. Right? This is why we need to make sure that we're tapping into that source of power, which is the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that he gave us so we can live this world to the fullness of his purpose. We find our purpose, we follow our purpose, and we finish our purpose for his glory and his glory alone. Now, cui bono, who benefits us? We're reading. Call to action, because I know we're busy. Jay, what does this mean to me? So, well, we need to hear some practical things, you know, because we're men and we're practical, right? You know, dedicate time, uninterrupted prayer in God's presence. Is it, you want to put it in your agenda? Or as you're driving? Or is it a relationship? You know, if he's your friend and you want him to be, well, I'm very, very cautious about how I say that, but if you want to have a relationship and get to know him, is there time in your busy schedule to get to know him by reading scripture? You want to know the characters and attributes of God, is there time for that? meditate on the scriptures before prayer. We want to know his character, we need to be in scripture. And this is the reason why the inerrant word of God, right? He's given us who he is in his scripture, right? And we'll never know all of it, but at least he's given us the roadmap, right? We don't have to go to Google or ChatGPT to figure that out, right? He's already given us his holy scripture, right? In terms of family relationships, commit to positive intent, right? Commit to establish or reconcile where you can relationship with the family. Understand that especially the enemy is going to try to divide the family. The family has been under attack since the beginning of age. Do not be part of that. Do not play into that. As far as it is unto you, make an effort. And warning, you will be rejected sometimes, but that doesn't mean that we quit. God didn't quit on us. Jesus didn't quit on us. Why should we quit? Do it for prayer. Ask for somebody to come around. Maybe it's not you to reach that person that you want to reach. Probably it's not you. But just be intentional about it, right? But have an attitude of gratitude. Understanding and acknowledge the strengths, right, in the virtues of other people. Right? Understand and treat them like they are the precious that they are, created in the image of God. Right? And let those little things just go by. You want to be extended grace, extend grace from that perspective. So, as we go to this day, let's go to prayer. I have some questions here, and our brother George Lair. I want to say that our teaching staff is very Navy focused these days, but quality has improved, I would say, from that perspective. I talk from an Army guy, but I thank you for the opportunity. I hope these letters for me have been challenging because it forces me. Okay, it's not about what C.S. Lewis said. Is that as you read him, you can interpret just like any other piece of literature, right? It means things to different people. But we go back to what the scripture says, and you know, it's been convicting on some other areas. How's your prayer life? And why are you praying? What is your motivation behind prayer? How's the family life? What little things are you letting become mountains and there are little molehills, right? What are the things that you're letting just the aggravate that should not be there? How much grace are you extending and expecting grace? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. I pray for these men, Father. I pray your blessing upon them as they go out through the day, Father. Father, I just pray, Father, that our hearts be open to you. We ask forgiveness for the times that we've fallen short, for the times that we've moved out before praying up, for the times that we have not tapped into the source of power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just pray, Father, that as we move forward, Father, we get closer and closer to you, Father. We pray against the enemy. Father, we arm ourselves, Father, with your word, Father, to be, and we know we can walk as conquerors because of what your son, what Jesus Christ did for us in the cross, Father. We claim you as our Lord and Savior, and we surrender ourselves to you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.